Hello, you all. I wanted to do a short little podcast about safety planning. So this is not only a summary for the week, it's also some critique as a class on your papers. You guys did a great job on your papers. It's so funny because there were several things that I normally get every semester that I did not get at all in this class. So I think you guys are probably the best IPV class that I've ever had. Isn't that awesome? So one of the things, I honestly can't even remember. I think I said it somewhere else in another video. About what it was that you guys didn't do. So, or maybe I'll think of it while I do this. But anyway, so a couple of things I wanted to just re-emphasize, reiterate. One is that the goal, again, is not to leave, but to be safe. And so in your safety planning, it would have been very important that you showed that you understood that and not focused on how to get that person out of the situation, because that's not what we are there to do. So remember that. The other thing is that shelters and crisis centers are at undisclosed locations. So you as a social worker would not go to a person's home to pick up a client. It's not safe for you. And so while we are absolutely supportive of ending intimate partner violence, we do not put ourselves in danger in order to do so. Okay. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few, or about a year, excuse me, about a year ago, there was an incident at a Walgreens here in Arlington, and there was a couple having a physical altercation in which the husband was a batterer, and he had gotten physically aggressive with the woman or the wife, and a bystander intervened, and he was killed. So again, your safety is of utmost importance. So you would not go to a home in which we knew there was IPV going on, and then try to intervene and take that person and their kids away, or pop out front and honk your horn, things like that. You're not going to do that. With that said, for those of you that are doing other jobs and you go into the home and you discover there's IPV, please know that that's a safety issue, and so seek supervision. I would not want any of you to be hurt or harmed trying to do your job. Just know that those situations could be very volatile, and you could absolutely be hurt just trying to help. The other thing that was important to say in your safety plan is that there are exceptions to confidentiality. So some of you said, I would assure the client that everything that they say is between me and them, and that's not the case. And so the exceptions to confidentiality, it's important that you know those, because you'll be regurgitating those many times in the field. And I saw some of you, made some attempts at stating what the limitations or the exceptions were, exceptions to confidentiality. If you know that someone is in danger of harming themselves or others, suicide or homicidal, and there's an imminent risk, then you need to intervene. And so that is one exception. And your intervention would be to call the police only. You're never going to call the person that they intend to harm, because we do not have a duty to warn in Texas. You need to call the police, the experts at handling something like that, and get them involved as soon as possible. And then if it's a person who is suicidal, same thing, because police will safely transport them to the hospital. You would not transport a suicidal client to the hospital, nor would you have a family member transport a suicidal client to the hospital. The other exceptions are abuse, and those categories are abuse to children, abuse or neglect to children, to persons over the age of 65, and to persons with disabilities. And when you're telling your client the exceptions, you need to include all of those, no matter what setting you're in. And so I noticed many of you just said you only had to report child abuse. No, you have to report those other types of abuse too. And they could easily disclose and mention it and make sure they're aware. The other thing that I noticed some of you wrote was that you had a responsibility to report if that person, your client, were being harmed. And the only time you needed to report that is in the case with the teen. And then military, but we'll talk more about that later. But in the case of like Donna and Mark, I never said she had a disability and she's not over 65, and so there's no one that you would report to. So there's no mandated reporting to law enforcement for intimate partner violence. The only time you would report, it would be to APS, and that would only be if that person were over 65 or if they were or if they had a disability. So very important. And then finally, it's very important to remember that the feminist approach can also be used with men. So the feminist approach is not just for women. Men can be feminists as well. And so the feminist approach is more about patriarchy and those rigid gender roles and things like that. And so you could absolutely use that with a man as well. I heard a speaker, actually an author, his name is Dr. Robert Jensen out of UT in Austin, and he said that domestic violence or intimate partner violence won't end until there's an end to patriarchy. And he said, and that includes if the male is the person that's being victimized. So I really enjoyed hearing that, and I also have a book that I'm reading by him, and so I'm pretty sure I'll find other things to share with you guys regarding that and his thought process as the semester moves on. So let's see. Oh, okay. Other things. I'm looking at my notes. Apologies. Children. I wrote that and I have no idea what I meant by that. Okay, I guess that's it. The other thing I wanted to do real quickly is to talk about the safety plans and the things that I was expecting from each, about the cases rather. So case one, some of the main things you needed to note in your safety plan are, one, that you must report to CPS. I tell you very clearly that Mark Jr. was pushed by his father, and so that would require a CPS report. So that's very important. In each case, there's some aspect of culture that I mentioned. In this case, there are two. Donna and Mark are African American, so you need to talk about that. Your text talks about racial loyalty, very important, especially right now with the things that are going on with Black Lives Matter. So you should have definitely discussed racial loyalty and possible distrust of the police, that kind of stuff. The other aspect of culture that needed to be addressed here is the rural community. There's a whole chapter in your text about living in a rural community and so those were the things that needed to be noted in this particular case. Okay, the next one, John and Mary, culture here is teen culture, and so you needed to have engaged in some discussion about teens. That would have been very important. The other thing is the ethical obligation of reporting. One, to APS, that's who you need to report to, because even though Mary is also a teenager, John is being abused, and so we don't only report abuse when the perpetrator is an adult. So this needs to be reported to CPS. The other issue is confidentiality. This week, I believe, we're going to be looking at teen dating violence, and we'll talk more about confidentiality and how teens can seek treatment for abuse without their parents being involved. And so if you made a comment that you would call their parents immediately because their parents, oh, that's what it was that you guys didn't do, because their parents want what's best for them or something like that. A lot of students in the past have assumed that, and you can't make assumptions that all parents are good parents. And so if a young person is not, or a teen is not wanting to tell their parents, you have to respect that. Now, obviously, you want them to make an informed decision, and you want to really make sure they understand what they're doing, but there may be very good reasons. And bottom line is, unless they give you consent to speak to their parents, you cannot talk to their parents. You also can't disclose this to teachers and administrators and things like that without the teen's consent. So I know schools have policies and things like that, but as a social worker, you have a license and there are rules there. And so if the school policy contradicts confidentiality as it relates to your license, then that's an opportunity for you to seek supervision. So let me know if there are any questions there. I think I covered everything there. And then case three was probably by far the most difficult case. You're dealing with military culture and you're dealing with a couple from the GLBT community. And then I threw some other things in there to kind of trick you. Sorry. So we have Troy and Ed, and I needed you to discuss both aspects of culture. The military, you have a whole chapter in your text about that as well. And then discuss the being gay males as well. I was very it was very intentional that I said they were both infantry soldiers, and so hopefully you looked up infantry and found out what that job meant. And so you should have learned that infantry soldiers, their only job is to kill. They're trained to kill. They're foot soldiers. That's what they do. And when they're not deployed, they're here training to kill. So that aggression is really prevalent within that MOS, which is their job. So that's important there, and to know that they both have been trained to kill professionally, and so that easily trickles over into their personal life. So this should have been a huge red flag. And you should have known that they are at very high risk for their lethality is very high. The risk of lethality. Let's see. The other thing, the ethical issue I wanted you to discuss here is reporting. The military has different reporting, and IPV is one of those things that we are mandated to report, like child abuse. And so I wanted you to discuss some of that here. That was in your text as well. I did talk about Ed being more aggressive and having symptoms that could possibly be PTSD, but that was kind of a trick because although PTSD may contribute to the violence, it's certainly not an excuse, and Troy would certainly still be responsible for his behavior, even if he did have PTSD. So I think I covered everything there. And so this case, it was very important to really discuss where you were seeing the client, because if you were a civilian social worker seeing the client, your responsibility will be very different than if you were a military social worker. Okay, and then we have Sam and Ellen. I think, yeah, finally, Sam and Ellen. So you have lots of stuff going on here too. Sam and Ellen, being a Latino couple, I expected you to talk about the Latin culture. I expected you to talk about that. The other thing is they've been married for 40 years, so we know that they're at least 60, probably older. And so if you talked about IPV and the geriatric population, that's great. I didn't count off if you didn't, because they could still be 60 or they could have gotten married at 13, who knows. But I did want you to discuss IPV and people with disabilities. That's why I mentioned the stroke. So those are the two aspects or three aspects of culture that should have been included. The ethical dilemma here was contacting APS. So it was very important that you report the abuse to APS, not because it's IPV, but because Ellen has a disability. So she's that would be an exception to confidentiality. What else? And I really wanted you to respect her right to self-determination, in her not wanting to involve her sons and things like that. But really, I wanted you to just see this history here. Here's a couple that's been married 40 years. You know, they have two adult sons, and you know, telling her to just leave. It's easier said than done. More than likely, if she left, she would have to go to some sort of a facility because she can't take care of herself and live independently. And that quality of life would be vastly different from her quality of life at home. And so she may decide that even though Ed is abusive, not Ed, what's his name? Sam. Even though Sam is abusive, it's better for her to be at home than to be in a nursing home. So I was hoping this would really hit home. when it comes to people who choose to stay in their relationship. So there you have it. Hopefully that was helpful. Take care.